God, your love and power is not a power that descends over and manipulates, but a power that strips down, kneels down, and works with people and serves people. In our time together today, may we learn how to be your people in the way that Jesus taught us to move through the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So a little thirsty. So since last week, we've skipped John 12, because last week we were in John 11. But we're going to come back to John chapter 12 in a few weeks because John 12 has Mary anointing Jesus with, Jesus' feet with oil, which was alluded to in chapter 11. John's doing really weird things in this part. He was like a great storyteller, and now he's like explicitly going, and this is going to happen later, so it's important to know that that's who this person is when they go to do the thing later. But then also in chapter 12, we have the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So we'll save the triumphal entry part of chapter 12 for Palm Sunday, and which means that this morning's reading is the beginning of John telling the story of the last meal that Jesus had with his disciples on the evening before he is crucified. So Maundy Thursday is actually really, really important for John. It takes all of chapters 13 through 17. And so it is interesting that we are in chapter 13. The Gospel of John has 21 chapters, and we're already like more than halfway through Holy Week. The first bit was, first 12 chapters were 3 years. And then the last bit is like 3 days, 4 days, I guess. But it is worth reading some of the story of Jesus anointing, Mary anointing Jesus' feet in John 12 before we enter the scripture for today, because it sounds very similar to our passage today. While at a meal at the home of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, Mary took an extraordinary amount, almost 3/4 of a pound of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She anointed Jesus' feet with it, then wiped his feet dry with her hair. The house was filled with the aroma of the perfume. Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, complained, "This perfume was worth a year's wages. Why wasn't it sold and the money given to the poor?" Then Jesus said, "Leave her alone. The perfume was to be used in preparation for my burial. And this is how she used it. You will always have the poor among you, but you won't always have me." We can hear and notice that Jesus is repeating the actions of Mary from John chapter 12 when he takes the time to strip himself down to wash the disciples' feet. When Jesus isn't doing this because it needs to be done, as a slave or servant of the household would have done this before the start of the meal. This is almost entirely symbolic because it isn't like their feet got that dirty walking around the house. Maybe a bit, but like not as much as if they were outside. So instead, the opening of our passage lets us know that Jesus is choosing this route because Jesus loved them fully. And that "love them fully" part can be translated as "loved them to the end," or "loved them without end." End of time, love at never ending. That is Jesus' love for his disciples and thus for us. In this act, Jesus goes from honored guest to slave and servant. In a way, theologians see this as a symbolic event symbolizing the simple act of God becoming human, as going from pure God to pure God in a human form. God wants to be in relationship with the disciples and us, and God chooses to do so through the embodiment of a slave. A.J. Levine, a Jewish theologian of New Testament scripture, says that deliberately to choose humility over pride, serving over being served, strikes me as contrary to our natural way of functioning in the world, and thus, in a sense, miraculous. Which in a way feels even more miraculous in our day and age that someone would choose to do an act like this. And so since God became enfleshed as a slave, it should impact how we interact and show reverence to those most marginalized by society. Or, for those that got to check it out, you might have seen the sermon from our bishop this past week, where she said, "A gospel that does not side with the oppressed is not the gospel of Jesus Christ." This is a deeply intimate moment which reminds me of the intimacy of washing a loved one who can not presently wash themselves. This, for various reasons, it could be like momentarily as they're recovering from an illness or fall or a surgery, or more towards the end of someone's life when you're taking care of the one who took care of you before. And this intimacy is what Jesus seeks to embody in his last hours with his disciples before his death, to give them a new way to embody God's love in his absence. To be a community that mutually uplifts one another. Jesus challenges their understanding of power and service by slowly washing the feet of one disciple at a time. Which, first of all, that just sounds a little awkward. Just imagine the room. There's like 12 to 20 people in the room. And the honored guest takes the time to wash one person's foot at a time. We don't have any of the conversation until it gets to Peter, so there's like a lot of awkward silence and maybe some murmurs, like, what is going on here? And we already know that Judas was already cranky about the perfume stuff, and John tells us that Judas is already set out to betray Jesus, and Judas is yet one of the ones whom Jesus takes the time to wash the feet of. And then when he gets to Peter, Peter still doesn't get it. And he tries to refuse to accept the service, thinking that he wasn't important enough to be served by God. And I think that's something that many of us can relate to. The moments when we are in need enough or important enough. We feel like we don't need enough. Or maybe we're not important enough to be the focus. There's enough pain in the world that, like, why would God care about me in this moment? Or I don't really need to be served by others right now. Like, this is an inconvenience. I'll be fine. I don't need the help. That's not the gospel of Jesus. That's the gospel of American exceptionalism. And this past Friday night, I had the opportunity to see the brand new play, Trinity, by Lena Waithe. I think I got her last name right. This is completely out of memory, and so who knows. Down at, let's just be real, I probably got it wrong. I'll put it in the weekly news. But down at Baltimore Center Stage, and somehow I managed to get the tickets for the night when they had a talk back with Vic Mensa, and they were having this beautiful conversation because the play is just three people, a love triangle, hence Trinity, and how they're interrelated to one another. And one of the characters, like Judas Iscariot, thought that she was superior to everyone else. And then another character, like Peter, thought that he was inferior to everyone else. And in the talk back, Lena Waithe says that superiority and inferiority are both sins. And if we go back to how John defines sin, that just like makes sense, because for John, sin is the thing that gets in the way of our relationship with one another and our relationship with the divine. If we don't think we're good enough for God's love, then we're hindering our ability to connect with the one who created us. And if we think that we're too good for God's love, then we can't actually embody God's love. We get in the way of it. We think we're the ones that are going to save the world, instead of realizing that it is with God that we're able to do anything. And then that extends even more so to in community. It's with community that we can truly embody God's ways. So Jesus is inviting us to learn to serve people that society tells us is lesser than, to abide in the way of God, and then go out embodying God's love for the world in ways that just might get you ostracized, hated, excluded by others. Because this is the very type of love that made it so that Jesus gets betrayed, that there's a warrant out for his arrest in the first place, and why they would kill him, because a movement of people caring about others disrupts entire systems of power. And God is with us as we learn to accept the love of God through others and embody the love of God for others. Especially in a world that criminalizes loving and taking care of people. So let us pray. God, we are so blessed to be in a community that loves and cares for one another. May your Spirit work in and through us to help continue to break down the barriers that we have built up that keep us from being your love, barriers that make it so we cannot see the image of God in others, and also the barriers that keep us from thinking that we're worthy of love, worthy of service, worthy of care. Help us learn to reach out to the right people and send the right people to be your love when we need it, and send us when it is time for us to go and be your love. Because we know that it is only as we are empowered by your Holy Spirit that we are able to love boldly, serve joyfully, and lead courageously.